I've been asked by a representative of the Rabbinical Council of America to write just a short summary or a short, piece on how we feel in the matzav today approaching Rosh Hashanah, like to give out to rabbis across America.
The matzav of the impending Iran.
Yes. Like being that we're here and they're there, right? Do they want to know what do we feel like? And so I'm just want to do like a little bit of a poll because I'm sort of feeling like, I don't know, like kind of the same, like not really.
Like what's for dinner? Right.
I forgot to buy. I was thinking. Oh, I forgot to buy soap yesterday.
Okay, so that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like
I'll tell you. I'm
like the newspaper. There's like a disconnect between the newspapers and what you hear and daily life.
No, but also how we feel when they're shooting cartouches from the staff. I'm thinking
when you say
Rosh Hashanah.
Or Be'er Sheva yesterday.
It's not Iran, but like that effect today.
Like when
someone's
shooting
missiles
on us, and, we in that high
stress.
That can
happen. I think it's always interesting.
Nobody was injured. And I was like, nobody was injured, but what it does to you when you hear that siren and you run into your room and you've got all your kids, the psychological effect that it has.
It disrupts your
life. There's the physical and then there's the psychological. Like they think because it didn't nobody die or no structures were damaged, that no damage was done.
Right.
And that's what's not true. I mean the jumpiness that it creates, that's
when your parents were here, there were grad rackets in Be'er Sheva and the closed schools in Be'er Sheva.
I know.
Did you tell them?
No, I didn't tell them. But the next day in school, it was very windy outside. And a few times in the beginning when I heard the wind whistling by the window, I started tensing up.
Really?
To see, is it going to get louder?
Oh, you mean is that a siren?
Is it a siren? Is it going to get louder?
That effect that you can't, if you're not in it or you haven't experienced it, you can't even begin to relate.
Right.
So it's a psychological thing, I think, more so than a...
She's saying Iran, forget it, the rockets are...
Even if you want to build it up, we need their...
100%.
Need them to be worried for us and to progress us. So I wouldn't play it down. I would say we're all in hysteria and we're buying stuff to put in our rooms.
Such a liar! Anyway, I bring this up for a reason, not to sound for.
But it's not in your shape.
Okay, I bring it up for a reason. Because. I bring it for a reason. Because. We're going to discuss a part of the Parsha that apparently describes what we would call Achrit HaYamim. It describes the process of the final redemption of Tshuva, of the ingathering of the exiles. And what bothers me about this section, and I'll explain to you, I'll tell you what bothers me about this section, and we'll see if there's some way that we can reconcile ourselves to it. So we're going to learn the piece in Perek Lamed, in Nitzavim. Okay, then we're going to see the Ramban's explanation of it, a little bit of a midrash, and then I'm going to share with you the view of Rav Fira. Well, I'll explain to you who he was. Have I quoted Rav Fira before?
Yeah.
I think I've quoted Rav Fira before. I'll tell you who he was, and we'll learn his shot. If you knew who he was, then you'll understand exactly what he's going to say. Okay, Perek Lamed. V'hayaki, there, and also you should just know, the Nitzavim is always Era Rosh Hashanah. It's right around Rosh Hashanah, because it is the Parsha of Tshuva. Okay? And we're gonna see also, you'll see in a second exactly why. Haya, ki yavo alecha kol hadvarim ha'ele ha'bracha v'haklala asher natati lefanecha. It will be, when all of the things that I told you that have befallen you, the blessings and the curses, does that sound familiar? Okay? Can we all relate to that? Have the blessings and the curses already befallen us? What? I'm not asking Torah-wise. We had the Tochacha last week in the Torah. I'm asking reality-wise, history-wise.
Today is 9/11.
What?
It's 9/11.
Oh, okay. Were you?
Well, I was thinking about that when you were saying, it's easy to say, Israel being hysterical and things don't really happen, but things do happen, and, the Holocaust happens, people didn't think that would happen, and, even in America things happen, and so I don't think it's fair to say that people are just being hysterical, but there's just certain...
I don't think it's hysterical, but I think to me there's a disconnect between read the newspaper and believe and the way you live your daily life. Because I can't live my life all the time worrying about Iran. I just can't worry. What am I going to do about Iran? You know what I'm saying? What am I supposed to do about it? Well, we'll see what we can do, you know. I actually heard a talk from Rav Amar. Rav Amar is the Rishon LeZion. And he quoted a very famous Midrash, Rabbeinu likes to quote, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mit'aveh l'tfilatan shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a situation of akrut in the imahot, the Gemara says, so that they would daven. So he says sometimes the HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates situations for us in order to coerce us to daven, because he wants us to daven, he wants us to reach out to him. So there is what you can do. But I'm saying in your daily life, I'm going to... What? You're going to work
that way to the bracha. We don't turn around and daven with the same fervor when we say bracha.
That's just the reality. Okay.
That's what the Midrash says.
Right. So, meaning, but you're going to make dinner tonight, or you have to do what you have to do. That you can't. I can't function thinking about Iran when I'm doing my job. I just like, you know, it has nothing to... You can?
No, I was thinking, I went to a wedding the other night, and as you're passing the signs to the road, and you're heading further and further south... Yeah, wow.
But no, I'm talking about Sderot. I'm not talking about Sderot.
Put it in this.
Hello, I'm not talking about Sderot. I agree with you about Sderot. Sderot is like very...
I'm talking as I'm going to a wedding and I'm driving further south, I'm going, okay, it's a simcha, Hashem's going to protect us. It's figuring into my daily life. It's in my thought process whether I'm not going to not go to the chatana just because it's in an area that's a little further south.
Okay. Vashevota, okay, all these things will happen to you. Vashevota el levavecha. Bechol agoyim asher hidichacha Hashem Elokecha shama. V'hashevot el levavecha means v'hashiv, to return. V'hashiv means to bring back, like hashavat eveda. It doesn't say v'shavta el levavecha. Okay, it says v'hashevot el levavecha. What's the difference between that? V'hashiv.
Somebody else is doing it.
That's what he hit. No. Oh.
We're going to see this problem linguistically a number of times in this section. Meaning, we don't really know what these things mean. Hashevota el livavecha, to return to your heart. What does that mean? And amongst all the goyim asher dicha Hashem elokecha shama. What does it mean to return to your heart? Hashiva, to return means to return something, because lashuv means to return yourself. Correct. So what is v'hashevota? You will return...
To bring it back to you.
To bring what?
V'hashevota. Your heart.
Right, meaning the word I'm thinking of is like... The word I'm thinking is hashabat aveda. What is hashabat aveda? I return the aveda to you. So v'hashevota... So what you should really say is v'hashevota something...
It is. It does say. It says, because it has varim ha'ela... qualified by Habrachava Asher Natati Lefanacha, because I think the difference between Lashuv and Lahashiv is Lashuv is talking about you going back, and Lahashiv is to return something.
Okay.
So the something that you have to return or pull back to yourself in this case is the Dvarim, i.e. the Bracha and the Klala that Hashem gave you, and now that He gave it to you, you should bring it close to your heart.
The Bracha and the Klala?
Oh.
Yes. Hadvarim Asher Natati Lefanacha. Because, in other words, don't just leave it on the shelf. Hashivota el levavecha.
Maybe take it to heart, the dvarim.
Good drush. Doesn't work in the words.
Of course it works in the words.
What? Hashivo. I would say v'heshavta. So in v'hashivota means...
What's the
vav? And you will return yourself. Okay, you understand that? That's fine. You will return yourself... Vahashevo ta. The ta is that you will do. Vahashev, I don't know. El levavecha, to your heart. What does it? What does it mean in context? Obviously. Right. Hashem is Hashev et hako anim
la avodatam.
Vahashevo ta.
So what's the vav?
Et what are you? What's the object?
Vahashevo ta.
No.
Vahashevo
ta. What's the rest?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
When we say Hashivenu.
Hashiv. That's the Hashem.
Why is the Vav
Hashivota. Hashevota. The Hashiv is to bring back. The Hashev.
Oh,
we need like a linguist. Yes, v'hashev, meaning we pray to God. Hashev kohanim l'avodatam. That's exactly what we say. And you shall return the kohanim.
But it's a tzivui a little bit.
V'hashevota et, what's the et? That's what I want to know. V'hashevota et something. No way.
No hakayim.
Not very. What are you returning to bring? Does that make any sense?
To bring it to your heart. Excuse me. Anything that you're bringing l'vavavka has to be ideological. We're talking not an actual physical object. Because it's elevavacha, so it has to be something like that.
Can we read the rest of the pasuk? I mean, isn't it relevant?
It is in a second. One. Yeah, I was talking about tshuva. But the language of tshuva is unusual. V'hashevota something. And Mina says it's the varim, but I'm buying it. Elevavacha. Okay.
Let's go back another pasuk.
Yeah. Hanisavot v'hashem elokeinu v'aniglot v'an lanu l'baninu alam v'asot it's called Dibrei Torah Hazot.
Okay. Why does it need to be a break? We're talking about Dibrei Torah Hazot.
V'hayak yavo lach adrei me'ela bracha v'aklala v'hashevota el levavecha. It means the Torah Hazot. Okay, you shall return it to your heart. It means to do tshuva somehow. What I really want to know is, what I'm trying to figure out in this section is, what is the process? Because in the ideal, the way Chazal viewed this whole process, what was going to happen is we were going to be spread around the nations, we were not going to be religious, we were going to have rejected God. Then we were going to suffer, etc., etc. Then what does it sound like? We'll return. We all do tshuva. Right? In all the nations where God has dispersed you. Right? You know, what's the word translation?
Driven you out.
Driven you out. Okay. That I understand. That I understand. V'shavta Hashem Elokecha is easy. See, you understand what my problem is? I know what v'shavta Hashem Elokecha is. I don't know what v'hashevota el levavecha means. So then I do tshuva, v'shamata b'kolo, and you hear his voice, k'chol asher anochi mitzavcha hayom ata uvanecha, ata b'chol levavcha b'chol mafshecha. You hear God, you listen, to do everything I told you to do. Then, v'shav Hashem Elokecha et shivutcha v'richa mecha. Hashem will... V'shavta, you turn to God. V'shav Hashem Elokecha et shivutcha, shivut. What is shivut? Hashem will return shivutcha.
Isn't it
your captives? Your captives, right? Captives the shivut. V'richa mecha, and he will have compassion on you. V'shav, and he will return. V'kibetcha mikol ha'amim, asher hifitcha Hashem Elokecha shama. And he will return you from all of the nations to which God had dispersed you. If your captives are at the edge of the heavens, from there God will gather you, from there he shall take you. Anybody know where that's from? Anybody recognize that?
It's from the Torah.
Thank you. Anybody recognize that from anywhere else? Nope. Where in davening? That's correct. Where in davening would it be? Anybody know what tefillah has stolen this pasuk? Come on, it's ringing a bell. It's an important. I'm ringing it up. What? Nope. Because you're thinking of Bekabesi Lechenem Yabakan Potaaretz. Okay. Good guess. Right. What pasuk? What prayer directly steals this pasuk?
Not Shema.
Nope. Think more modern.
Oh,
correct. Avinu shebashamayim, tzor Yisrael v'go'alo, berech et medinat Yisrael, v'shit tzmichat gulatenu. I'll skip. Okay? By the way, in the people, it's interesting, when we were saying this, and it is fascinating to note how makfid in chutz la'aretz, like the Zionist communities are about saying this tefillah, and when you come here, it's like, let's go. Like in America, we would say it out loud. The whole tefillah. It's like.
And there were the shuls that did say it. And the shuls that.
Yeah. Well, here you have that too. You have that too.
Go to the shul that did.
Exactly. You would not go to the shul that wouldn't say it. You did. Okay. Anyway, it was close.
As you're reading this, though, in terms of what's going on in local,
I think you're forgiven.
I'm getting chilled.
Wait. Stop. Good. At Achenu Kobeit Yisrael, in the prayer for the state of Israel, we pray to God. So there's certain irony that people in Chutz La'aretz are praying this prayer. Because we say, V'et Achenu Kobeit Yisrael, and our brother, all of Israel, pekadna b'chol artzot pizurehem, redeem them in all the lands of their dispersion, v'tolichem mehira kum miyud l'tzion irecha, you shall bring them upright to Zion, your city, l'shalem mishkan shemecha, and Jerusalem, the dwelling place of your holy name, kakatuv b'torat Moshe avdecha, as it is written in Moshe's Torah, im yihiyani dachacha b'tzeh ha-shamayim, misham, follow with me, misham yikabetcha Hashem Elokecha, u'misham yikachecha. Okay? And he goes on, ve'evyecha Hashem Elokecha she'ashu avotecha v'yivishta, ve'hitivcha v'hirbecha me'avotecha. It quotes two psukim from Parshat Nitzavim.
Yeah, but it's not ironic, because they can interpret it as Aharit HaYamin.
Fine.
And when it's the real Gula Tzeinu, then they'll come.
This is what I wanted to ask you. Did the framers of this prayer, if we view this as Reshit Smichat Geulateinu, okay, Karen says she's getting chills. Where are we in these psukim? One second. Let's finish the psukim now, okay? That means God will bring in, will ingather the exiles. Has God ingathered the exiles?
Middle, in the middle.
Yeah, and it's
part
of the process.
What?
In the middle.
In the middle.
It's
only in the middle if you think that it has to be total. Right.
Majority.
Correct.
We're already at a majority.
Okay. He will bring you to the land which your forefathers have inherited, and you will inherit it. It will give you, you will make you better and make you more than your forefathers. Has that come true?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And into it.
Yeah.
If you look at where people have come
better, not better.
Yeah, from Cayman and from America and from Russia, from China, it's mamash, we have a comfort to Ireland.
Absolutely.
You can't even deny it.
Is our life here better than the life of our forefathers?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about our forefathers of America. I'm talking about the forefathers.
Wait, forefathers?
No.
The Avot.
The
Avot. Of course.
Is life here better than it was in Beit Sheni? Oh.
Yeah.
Of course.
A million times better. Are you kidding?
We're ruling ourselves.
What? Materially? Physically? Security?
Spiritually?
No, Ben Amidash.
Well,
we don't know.
I think there's a way higher percentage of observant Jews.
See what I mean again? What'd you say it again?
I think there's a way higher percentage of observant Jews now than there was in the time of the Beit
Hamikdash.
Living here
agree.
In Israel, you mean?
Absolutely. Agree.
But not out of, what do you mean?
In
most
Israel.
Jews aren't religious.
No, Bayit Rishon is a paragon. Yeah, and what happened during much of Bayit Rishon? What were the Nevi'im complaining about through basically all of Bayit Rishon? Remember, Eliyahu HaNavi lived in the time of Bayit Rishon, correct? No, before Bayit Rishon. Yeah, during Bayit Rishon. What are we talking about?
Rabbi Miad and Matim. The Matim were the firm ones. That was the end of Bayit
Rishon. Really?
What?
Correct.
No, not only.
Mityavnim.
That's what I'm saying. They weren't Chilonim. They were either Mityavnim or they were...
Call what you want. It's all the same. Call what you want. It's all the same.
What?
Come on.
Yeah,
Eliyahu HaNavi lived in the time of Bayit Rishon. Eliyahu HaNavi lived in the time of Bayit Rishon. How many firm Jews were there in the time of Bayit Rishon who did not worship Avodah Zarah in Eliyahu HaNavi's time?
That's really because we did not do Avodah Zarah because they did both.
Okay. Great. You know, we have... I'm religious, but I also do all kinds of other things. Much less. How many?
I thought it was
10%. No. In Eliyahu HaNavi's time, didn't they say how many people could they find that did not worship Avodah Zarah? Anybody remember the Navi?
They couldn't.
Something like 5,000 or something? In the whole country? You know what I'm saying? So we're saying, things are so bad and we have to, come on, let's put things in perspective. Okay? So, without a doubt, from a security point of view, we're more secure than we ever were. Ever. Why? Talking about existential threats? We're talking about whether we should attack and prevent that existential threat. When did we ever have that discussion?
And loading your safe room.
You know what I'm saying, right? When did we ever have that discussion? We're talking about people shooting rockets at us? What happened immediately after they shot rockets? Okay, you know what I'm saying? There was never a guarantee that we would always be 100% secure. There's never that guarantee. Even after all the brachot, if you look carefully, we've actually discussed this before, right? In the brachot that are talked about, if you follow the Torah before the Tochacha, Right? In the Brachot of Kitavo, okay, the Torah says, Baruch atah Abuecha, Baruch atah Abetzeitecha, Yitein Hashem et oivecha kamim alecha nigafim lifanecha. Doesn't mean you won't have enemies. People think that it's supposed to be nobody attacks us, everything is wonderful. You have enemies, and what happens? They suffer. You know what I'm saying? Like, spiritually, we're in a pretty good situation. Materially,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Can also read
what?
Can also read it differently. Like, the reason it gave me chills is I'm sitting there, blessings and curse can be the same thing. I'm thinking about, like, you know, because it is 9/11, it's been so easy to be Jewish in America, which is a blessing and a curse. And now, when you read the news and everything, and it keeps saying how Israel is on its own, it doesn't have friends, the other nations are not setting this red line or the state. You're on your own with in terms to Iraq. And the captivity, returning from captivity, it's all in Canada right now. It's all those
that
are living. What's
that? Canada. Go for it. Good, go Canada.
Let me just tell you, when I grew up, Canada was not supportive of Israel at all. And I remember when my brother was still interviewing, he never worked. It's not...
Wow.
It's not like
so
it's little. No, I'm just saying it's not like it's been this little, you know, Canada's friend all these years and loves Jews. It hasn't been like that. And you go into Quebec, they're very anti-Semitic. So right now they're Israel's friend, but I'm just saying, you know, if when I went back to visit, there were really Muslims there. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next election things change, and that's it. I'm just saying. It's great right now, but it's not
there
a
lot.
You know, and you know what? And maybe Romney will get voted in, and then we'll have an American friend. But I'm just saying, it's not like the
wow, wow, you guys, oh, this is unbelievable. I didn't want to get this political. I really don't.
Sorry.
I just want you Canadians to know that us Americans don't really consider Canada a real country.
You know what? As someone with dual citizenship, I can say I understand that.
Okay.
Now,
one second.
Captivity is
yeah.
Like you think you're living this Jewish life in America.
Hold on. We'll get to Rafir. Hold your hand. Okay, hold your horses. What I want to say is, if that pasuk came true, the other pasukim before them came true? You understand what I'm saying? Meaning, if we're looking at it and saying, you will inherit it. We have inherited the land. We have. We have taken hold of the land. We have control of the land. How much of the land? We'll argue about it. Whatever. Okay? No. We can, I think, universally agree that that pasuk has come true.
Our captives?
Have our captives been freed?
Okay,
one.
No. One second. Have our captives been freed?
No.
The captives in the galut, have they been freed?
They're captives.
They can just free themselves.
They're absolutely been free.
They're not captives.
Yeah, Russia was free, Yemen, Muslim country, absolutely. Who is captive that they could
it's
not
true.
Come if they don't want to? I'm not talking about captive
some
by themselves. Yeah, that's right. I'm not talking about that. That has come true. Okay? What? One second. So, that's a critical question. But the thing that's really interesting to me is, what about the first part? Has the first part come true? Ashevot el levavecha, v'shavta Hashem elokecha. Has there been this tshuva that we talked about, the spiritual tshuva?
I think it's happening.
And I didn't say happening. You're equivocating.
If you go to South Africa,
what?
South Africa, when my parents' generation, there was like a handful of religious people. There were the German Jews,
uh-huh.
And there was like my grandparents, and they very, very small community. There were a couple of vernacular, and that's it. When we grew up, anyone that had a kippah, we knew.
Really?
Yeah, if you saw a kippah, you would clearly you'd know that. Now, my gosh. I mean, it's not an Israeli because of it, but there's shuls, there's schools, there's tens of schools, the country restaurant. I mean, the promise.
So you're saying yes?
It depends where you are. I mean, depends where you are.
But isn't it supposed to
be?
Yeah. How's Savannah, Georgia doing? You know what I'm saying? Right.
It was in the newspaper yesterday.
I'm sorry, Charleston, South Carolina.
65% of the Jews in New York are Orthodox.
That's not true.
It was in the paper this
65% of the Jews in New York are Orthodox?
Believe
you know what that means? It's possible. You know what that means? You know what that means? That's not good news. That's not good news.
The others that married now.
Right, exactly. That's not good news.
Why 65% of the Jews in New York are Jewish?
Orthodox. That's hard to believe. Okay.
That percentage is mostly Haredim. You don't have the support of the
Hasukbab. Umal Hashem. It's by the way, it's big trouble for the religious community because we never were able to support ourselves. Umal Hashem Elokecha. That explains a lot about the tuition crisis. A lot of it. That all that non-religious money that used to be there is not there anymore. It's going to the Met. It's going to whatever. It's going to ashrams. But I mean, because your grandparents, right? Even if they weren't themselves religious, they wanted to support Jewish causes. But now with more and more Orthodox and less non-Orthodox who are supportive of Orthodox causes, that's why you have people in crisis. Umal Hashem Elokecha levavcha levav zarecha leahava et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha leman chayecha. God will then, after you return, after you're in the land, circumcise your heart and the heart of your children to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, leman chayecha, for the sake of your life. What's that? B'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha appears a lot. Appears a lot. V'natan Hashem lokecha kol ha'alot ha'ila al oyvecha ve'al sonecha sherud afuchas. Again, we have the same reference. And God will take these curses that were on them, on you, and put them on them, on your enemies and on those who hate you that are chasing you. Please, God, mirtz Hashem. Okay? Doesn't mean we don't have enemies. Okay? When we define ourselves, when we represent the Torah, we have enemies. The enemies who don't like what we represent. But then Hashem is on our side.
Syria.
Chet. You know, it's just a truism that anything that they did to us first, then they suffer themselves in the end. It's absolutely true. V'ata tashuv v'shamata b'kol Hashem. Again, we have this reference. And you shall return. Tashuv. You will return and hear Hashem's voice. V'asit yat kol mitzvotav asher anochi mitzvotcha hayom. And you will do all the mitzvot that Hashem commanded you. V'hotircha Hashem alokecha b'chol ma'asei yadecha. God, lohotir, how does he will make you abundance? Lohotir means motar, extra, give you extra. With your children, your animals, the tova, right, the bounty of your land. Why? God will return to rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your forefathers. Why? Because you hear the voice of Hashem to follow the mitzvah. For you have returned to Hashem your God with all your heart and with all your soul. How many times did the word lashuv appear in for you will return? But he's talking back then. How many times did the word lashuv appear in this? In these 10 psukim? You count them up. Many. One second. You can count them up. One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got at least 7. You want to know why this is the parsha of tshuva? There's a lot of tshuva going on. You're doing tshuva, and it sounds like. Sounds like Hashem is also doing tshuva.
Yes.
Ki yashuv Hashem.
Right.
Right. Exactly. It's like a dual relationship. So Rashi immediately picks up on this. Okay. Interesting. Look at Rashi and Pasuk Yomo. Rashi goes a very famous midrash. Okay. We're going to do Rashi. We'll see. Asfornu in a second. Rashi says v'shav Hashem on Pasuk Yomo. V'shav Hashem et shivutcha. Says Rashi. Hayalo lichtov heshiv Hashem et shivutcha. V'shav means and he will return. To return yourself. Lashuv. Lahashiv, as we saw said before, means to return something else. Right? You got it? You understand? So Rashi says, Rabotenu lamdu mikan, said the rabbis, Shashchina kabayachol shuria im Yisrael b'tzarat galutam. When the Bnei Israel are in galut, as it were, kibayachol, God himself is in galut with us as well. Ukeshenik alin, and when we are redeemed, then God himself is also able to be redeemed. There are a lot of allusions to this in the Midrash. There's an idea that, right, there's a Beit HaMikdash Shel Matza and a Beit HaMikdash Shel Mala. And so, like, there's this idea that until the third Beit HaMikdash is finally built, so God has his own Beit HaMikdash. He's got his house, but he won't go in it. Because as long as we are not in Hashem's house, Hashem also says, I'm not going into my house either. My children are not in my house, I'm not going in either. It's a very beautiful midrashim. V'od yesh lomar, you can also say, shegadol yom kibbutz galiyot u'bekoshi it's the day of Kibbutz Galiot is as great and as difficult. Ki'ilu hu atzmo, as if God himself tzarich liot ochez biyadav mamash ish ish mimkomo. That God is literally holding the hand of each person and accompanying him individually. Ki'inyan shneemar, as it says, v'atem tilakdu le'echad echad b'nei Yisrael. You, them will pick up one, the Jewish people. V'af b'galiyah shahu muk matzinu ken v'shavdi shvuv. And the same language appears in other galiyot as well. What is interesting is, Rashi immediately picks up, he only makes one comment. I would love Rashi to make a lot more comments on this, because the idea of, what I'm trying to figure out, I don't have an answer. Sorry. V'hashivot el avavecha, v'shavta Hashem elokecha, v'shav Hashem et shvutcha v'rachamecha. Right, there's all this shabbing going on. There's a lot of returning here.
A lot of repetition.
So you could be an Ibn Ezra'i guy and a guy, right? Parshan and say. Moshe is like, you know, poetic. But most of the Mepharshim don't say that. I mean, I have a sense that there's something greater going on, that there's a progression. And the problem is, what's the progression? And especially now, remember, all of the Parshanim that we read, the classic Parshanim, are looking at it in the future. Right? We have the unique perspective that we think that to some degree, we're looking at it from the past. We not think that?
Wait,
say that again. Rashi looked at this and said, this will happen. We are looking at it and saying, either, yes, part of this will happen, but this has happened and is happening.
Aren't we supposed to read the Torah like it's happening in our time?
Oh, no, we're supposed to see the Torah as if it's commanded in our time. But here Moshe Rabbeinu is making clear...
But if it's commanded in our time,
Moshe Rabbeinu is making clear allusions to what will happen in the future. There will be an ingathering of the exiles. Right?
Hold on.
But this is it. I'm not doing it again. Don't you think? One second.
But then what are you doing?
The Heitivcha, the Hirvacha, Me'avotecha. The fact that Rav Goren picked these psukim, remember, in Avinu Shebashamayim, right? The Heitivcha, the Hirvacha, Me'avotecha, Yeshua, Avotecha, Bivishta, the Heitivcha, the Hirvacha, I'm reading from the Siddur. He would be better. What is better about this ingathering than the one before it? Says the Midrash Agadah. How is it better? This isn't describing just another cycle, another revolution, rather. It's describing the final one. I'm reading from the Midrash Agadah. The Midrash, I'm talking about
Whatever it is.
The Eluhem. These are them.
Whatever the last one is.
Ge'ula Rishona Haita L'chayim Bilvad. Okay, the first Rishon Ge'ula, the first redemption, Galut Mitzrayim, Babel, whatever, was only for the living. Aval Ha'achrona L'chayim V'lam Meitim. But the final redemption is the final redemption for those who are living and those who are not living. I'm skipping. Geula Rishona Haya Achare HaShi'abud. The first redemption had after it subjugation. Aval Achrona Ein Achare HaShi'abud. Okay? But after it, the last one has no subjugation after it. Once we come back, we come back. Shnei Amar, as it says in the Yirmiyah, Vayal Bayomahu, Nu Hashem Esvakot, Eshbor Ulo Me'al Tzavarecha. Okay, I will break your yoke from on your neck. So now the Midrash is saying that these psukim refer to the final redemption. That's what Rav Goren saying by putting that pasuk in.
It's rich, but it's
wait, what word did you use? Did you use an interesting word? Right, there's that word, but that's not what
he
thinks. No.
He
knows.
He
believes. He knows. You understand?
But it's rich. Because we're not there.
It's not even rich.
Yeah, it's
that's like a Seder Shah. It's the racist of the smichas.
No, I feel he's trying to be PC.
Rav Goren trying to be PC?
No,
he was absolutely not trying to be PC whatsoever. He was trying to state as unequivocally as he possibly could. He only threw it Reishit Tzmichah Gilateinu to appease the people.
Amen.
You don't. Oh, that's what he's trying to be PC.
I don't agree with that. I don't think you can say this is the good.
Excuse me. In 1948, they had no doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt. In 67, what? So we build it.
There are two stages.
You know, it's interesting.
It's
so interesting that they talk about this. They talk about this today. They talk about that in the beginning of the state, and up to I would say probably the mid 80s, especially the whole Gush Emunim period. There was a sense of mission that Israelis had, of passion, especially religious Israelis. There was a fervor, and that now in our day. Maybe because time has passed and things haven't moved in the direction that we want, we've lost that sense of passion, that sense of fervor, that sense of mission that people had at the beginning. And you're saying, yeah, maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a process. We're not quite at the Geulah Shlema yet.
Okay.
We're in the process. Absolutely. In the midst of it. And
all I wanted to point out to you is that from in borrowing these two psukim, when this tefillah was written, even though the beginning of the Tehillah says Reishit Tzmichah Ge'ulatenu, everything after that, those three words, is there to inform you that I don't really think it's Reishit Tzmichah Ge'ulatenu.
Or it's the beginning of the, I think that it's the beginning stages of the last.
Of the final redemption. Correct. So it's not a process. It's not, it's
a
process. What is it? I think, it's not that it's not a process. It is a process, but it's not a revolution. It's not yet another cycle in the thing. Okay?
Yeah. It's part of that thing.
Good. So I just want to know where we are. I want to know where we got to be there.
What?
Don't we all want to know?
You
know
why isn't it clear?
What?
Why isn't it clear?
Yeah, it's clear where we are?
No, why isn't it?
Hanistaro, Lashem Elokeinu. You know, why isn't it clear? You know what I'm saying? Reading the Psukim, have we had Vashemot Elevavecha? Was there a massive tshuva movement before the redemption? After the Klala, was there a massive tshuva movement, and that then inspired people to return to Hashem, and that then inspired God to return the people? You're saying no, right? Right, no, it's not how it happened. That's what's bothering me. There was a Shoah, and there was no massive tshuva. Right, there was the Klalot. The Klalot happened. We know that.
And from that,
so does that mean there's no more Klalot? If they happened?
I really hope so. Actually, the Tochacha appears twice. It appears twice in the Torah. And the first one, remember, is in Vayikra. It's only, 30 Tzukim only. And the one that Bessala read went on and on and on. You know what shocked me most about your comment? Where have you been all these years?
That I didn't realize that it was...
That the Tochacha was endless? Yeah, that it went on and on and on. You think it's going to be over, and then it's like, no, more bad. You know what I'm saying?
That's when he was born.
You know, yeah. So you have to believe in your heart. I believe in my heart. I choose to believe in my heart that the Holocaust was the worst suffering the Jewish people had ever endured by a magnitude of, you know, whatever. That has to be that Tochacha.
Mitzrayim wasn't worse.
I don't know what Gog and Magog is. I don't know what that means. Mitzrayim was not. No.
Wasn't worse.
No. There's 600,000 people. 2 million. Here, millions and millions of people were just slaughtered, just senselessly. Mitzrayim. Okay, Mitzrayim was shiabud, and yes, there was suffering. I'm not. The woman's going to minimize that, but it wasn't just senseless.
But also, like today, we get a conflict when they say 6 million, because now Israel now is 6 million.
The whole country.
Israel.
It's beyond what we can imagine. So do I choose to believe that? I certainly do choose to believe that. But then, and that would make sense. Then that's what Moshe said. When all those things happened, the bracha and the klala, got there, done, right? Then, where is that? Where is the return to the heart? You know, there is tshuva. There is, like you said, it does, it's there. But it's not the way... Right.
The whole country sees the miracle.
I'm just trying to understand where Vashavta Hashem Veshamata Bekolo, you return to Hashem, and then Vashav Rechamecha Beki Bitcha Mikol HaAmim. It doesn't seem to have happened that way. So we're misreading the psukim, or misunderstanding them, or Moshe's being flowery, or he's not describing it literally, but I'm struggling with this, trying to match what I see with the description, because I do see the ingathering of the exiles, I do see tshuva, but it doesn't seem to be playing out in the way that Moshe is describing, unless I'm not understanding, which I'm saying, I'm not understanding exactly the way he's describing it. I just want to point that out. So let's go to Ramban on Umal Hashem Ben Levavecha, and then I'll share with you Rafira. And then we'll stop.
Sorry.
Yeah. Something like it. I don't remember exactly what you're referring to.
It was a big deal. You photocopied it and you brought it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course I remember it. It's the Meshech Chachma on Vayikra.
Right.
Right. He said the Jewish experience in Galut. What?
How does that fit into this?
He is describing the Jewish experience as they go from exile to exile within the same exile.
I see. Okay.
Right? Meaning it's like waves. The waves get bigger and bigger and bigger in the broader sense of the same exile.
Right.
He was describing why is it that we keep getting kicked out of country to country to country. Okay. Wow, I'm glad I remember that. That's an important piece of Meshech Chachma on the Chukotai. Okay. Look at the Ramban. On Umal Hashem Ed Lubabecha. On Pasuk Bav. Okay. Zeh She'amru, this is what it says, Ba V'tahir Mesayin Oto. Whoever comes to be purified, God helps him. Mavtichacha God promises that you return with all your heart, He will help you. Just as an aside, totally small aside, that's the rule of tshuva. The Chazal tell us, God says, open up the petach shel machat, right? An opening the size of a pinhole, and God will open you up. God will bring you back. You'll do tshuva. You have to do an opening. Okay? V'nir min ha'ktuvim inyan zeh. He said, but I think what this is talking about, ki she'omer ki mizman ha'briya, Haita reshut biyad adam lasot kirtzano tzadik or rasha. From creation, from the time of creation, each person has a choice to do good or bad. And throughout all of the times of the Torah, that was true. Kedeshi elehem zchut b'bechiratam batov. So we would have merit when we choose good. Ve'onesh birtzonam bira. We're punished when we choose bad. Aval yimot ha-mashiach. But in the times of Mashiach, tia bechira betov lahem teva. We will naturally choose, it will be our nature to choose good. Lo yit avel lahem halev, lema she'enu ra'oi. You will not want something that is not appropriate for you spiritually. Velo yachpots bo klav. You will not have any desire. Ah, Oprah's on. It's not good for me. It's not spiritually good for me. So I'm not going to watch it. Why would I want to watch something that's bad for me? You know what I'm saying? Oh, Lashon, I'm just no desire to speak negatively about other people. I'm just no desire. V'hu'hi ha-mila. Mila from the word circumcision. Because that's the word umma. What does it mean that Hashem will circumcise your heart? Arel. After Shir, you have to ask me that about this word arel. Just funny. What is the circumcision of the heart? Says Ramban, ki ha-chimda v'hata'ava orla lalev. Right, this desire, this yearning, the Yetzer Hara, is the foreskin of the heart. Umol halev, and the circumcision of the heart, shelo yachmod velo yitaveh. You will not have any negative desires. V'yashuv ha'adam bizman ahu, la'asher haya kodem chet'o shel ha'adam ha'rishon. We will return.
Exactly like his language.
Yeah. There's a famous theme of Ramban. When Mashiach comes, God will circumcise our hearts. Our inner nature will change fundamentally. Just as Adam HaRishon was before the sin, original sin, right? Adam HaRishon, man was created originally to serve God naturally. And not to want that which is not good for us. As I said, okay? This is what it says in the verse in Yirmiyah. Hine yamin ba'im lum Hashem. The days will come. The karati beit Yisrael and beit Yehuda brit chadasha. What is a brit chadasha? A new covenant. I will be koret from the word lichrot brit. Koret brit. Remember, this is all the same language. Koret brit means to cut a brit. What do we cut off when we cut a brit? the Orla. So in the new Brit, we will be cutting off not the Brit, the old Brit, but the Orla Talev. What do you mean? They obviously it's taken from Brit Chadasha, of course. Loka Brit Asher Karati Tavotam. Why? Ki zot Brit. By the way, Ramban, when did he live? Where did he live?
Spain.
In Spain. Where? And he was
part of the very involved
fighting with who?
With the
Christians, absolutely. Yeah. So he's exactly, because he knows exactly what he's writing. And it's what do you mean? They were the disputation, it's called. Right. Because he knew exactly what he was writing. He was writing against exactly that. You New Testament people, this is how you read. Oh, didn't God say there'd be a new Brit? Yes, he did. The new Brit is the Brit Milah of the Orlat Halev. You don't understand what you're reading. Don't read everything so literally. You have to, you know, calm down a little bit. Okay. He knew exactly what he's writing, but you think it's by coincidence and circumstance that he threw this in at the end? You know, he knew exactly where he was going. Okay, Achrei Hayamim, v'zehu, he says, I'm after the quote, bitul yetzer hara, it is the negation of the yetzer hara, v'asot ha'lev b'tivo ma'aseh ha'ra'uy, and the heart will do exactly what it wants. V'lachin amar od, it says, in the future, v'hayiti lehem le'elohim, v'heima yuli la'am, nobody will say, you won't need Eshat Torah, you won't need any of that anymore. Why? Because everybody will naturally want to serve Hashem. One second. I'm skipping a little bit because I just wanted to get to the end. This is what our forefathers said, our rabbi said, I have no desire to sin. Elu yimot ha-mashiach. These are the days of Mashiach. She'en behem lo zchut v'lo chova. In the times of Mashiach, you don't get reward and you don't get punishment. Why? Ki b'yimei ha-mashiach lo yia ba'adam chefetz. Because you won't really want to do bad. And if you don't want to do bad, you're not rewarded for good. Aval yaseh b'tivo ma'aseh ha-ra'uy. But you will just naturally do the appropriate thing. That's the Yemot HaMashiach. You know, I have a problem with Ramban's Yemot HaMashiach. What does it sound like?
Doesn't sound like that.
Boring? I don't know if boring is the word I'm looking for.
That's human nature being
fundamentally altered.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't sound like that. It is what he's saying. Yeah. Human nature is fundamentally altered. What?
Can you imagine chinuch?
There is no chinuch. Correct.
Wow. Starting to sound better.
You don't have to fight with your kids. You don't have to tell them to clean up. They'll naturally have to clean up on their own. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be spotless. In Ramban's eschatological view, it's all on its own. It happens on itself. That is the idea. We'll all bask in the glory of God. The problem that I have with it, or I think a lot of us struggle with it. What? What's that? Basking in the glory of God. That's Olam Haba, right. But it seems, I don't know, like really? You don't think, no zchut? No, like, yeah, on the one hand, you want the chova, chas v'shalom, you want the possibility of chova to merit the zchut. Because then, like, you become sort of robots in a sense.
Right,
it's a good, I don't know. I really, I don't know. I can't answer that question. It sounds boring, right? Let's finish up the rest of the viewers. Sounds pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah. No Iran to worry about, that's for sure. No rockets falling on your head. Okay. By the way, thank you for that. I'm going to write about that. I'm going to write about the rockets. The rockets are important because it gives a perspective that a lot of people don't have. Okay. Let's go back for a second. Says Rav Fira. Okay, he says the father. Who was Rav Fira? Rav Fira was a rabbi in Hungary, I think. He came after the Shoah. And he wrote books. He liked to write books. He wrote drashot. He was a darshan. They wanted him to become a rabbi of the community, but he did it for a while. Then he lived near here, I think. In the south, near Kiryat Malachi, I think, somewhere near here. You look it up on Wikipedia. And he wrote these drashot on Eretz Yisrael. You know, if you want to read Rav Fira, if you want like Zionism, you know,
undiluted
Zionism, you go for Rav Fira. Yeah, he's awesome.
Does
okay.
It come in English, like translation?
No, it does not. It's a good project.
That's part of the Zionist, you know.
What?
It's part of the Zionist way.
It's got to be needed. No, there's a lot more books now of religious Zionist bent. More and more people are publishing. You'll find
project,
on the Parsha.
Yeah.
Another project idea, translate Rav Fira. I'm not going to do it. Okay. Yeah. He says the following. What does it mean? Vahashevota. Notice carefully. He says, Vahashevota el levavecha. You will turn to your heart. He says, that means tshuva. And then it says, Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha Vishamata Bekolo. You return ad. What does ad mean? What's the difference between returning El Hashem or ad Hashem? Because here it says first, Vishavta ad Hashem.
Strange.
What?
Ad sounds like your destination.
Right. He says, and it's interesting, the Gemara, there's a machloket. There's ad, and what's called ad ve'ad bichlal, up to and including. And sometimes ad means ad velo ad bichlal, up to and not including. So here he says it means ad velo ad bichlav. It's talking about people, he says, are vishavta Hashem Elokecha. One second. Ad Hashem Elokecha. That's a Baal Tshuva. Zeshav b'tshuva b'chol advarim. He returns to God for everything. Chutz midavar echad. But he's missing one thing. Anybody want to guess what that one thing is? No. He's a Baal Tshuva. He returned to Hashem. Hushav el levavo. He returned to his heart, ideally his ideal heart, Avaloshav el Arzo.
I was
going to
say that, but
he did not return to his land.
That's
why he said el levavech. She wants her fear to say.
I have very bad memories of being in seminary and the teacher saying that whoever lives in
wait. V'shavta hashevot el levavecha bechol hagoyim asher adichacha Hashem elokecha shama. He says, you do tshuva over there in the nations. V'lachein, and therefore it says the next pasuk, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Why? Kolomar, meaning ad v'lo ad bichla. You're returning towards God, but you haven't reached God. Why? Why? He says, ki kol hadar v'eretz Yisrael domeh k'mi she'en lo Eloha k'mi she'yesh lo Eloha v'chol adar b'chutz la'aretz k'ilu oved avodat kochavim. Meaning, Mishashav el Avavo, Ve'eno Shav le'Eretz Yisrael, whoever returns to his heart, but not to Eretz Yisrael, Hu Shav Ad Hashem Elokecha. He's in the right direction, but he's not there. Ki'ilu. It's not your Ovid Kochavim, Chas V'Shalom. It's Ki'ilu Ovid Avodat Kochavim. That's the person, he says, as the Torah promises, V'shav V'kibitcha Mikol Ha'amim Asher Avitcha Hashem Elokecha Hashem. I have to end with a story. So I gave a trim to one of my students yesterday. I do that, and I wrote, and she was telling me the story of this guy, Roy something. He wrote a book called, he's from Central Park to Sinai. I Skyped it. Okay? And he says most of his kids, he was a...
You Googled it.
I Googled it. Thank you. Okay? Actually, what? From Central Park to Sinai. He writes books. He wrote books. So interesting. So he says, his kids actually, you know, some of them were Baal Tshuva before him. And then later on in life, he became a Baal Tshuva, and now he writes books. And she's telling me, now he writes books and goes on lectures and speaks all the place. She wanted to know if he could speak here. People would be interested in hearing him. I said, probably. Okay. And I have to talk to her. And she said, now her grandparents, this is her grandfather, her mother made Aliyah. She's
her
got a...
grandfather
was not religious. Yeah, it's the guy Roy Edersen, maybe?
Her grandfather's son wrote these.
Who wrote these books. Okay. He was like some editor in newspapers or whatever. And now he's building a house in Eretz Yisrael. He said, because that's a natural progression of things. Right? If you do tshuva and you're ad Hashem Elokecha, then Hashem says, v'sham Hashem tzucha, v'sham biki bitcha mikol ha'amin. Because the real Baal Tshuva realizes that I'm there, but something's missing. That the real Baal Tshuva looks in the Torah and says, if you really want to be ad Hashem Elokecha, right? And then, one second, v'umal Hashem etzev l'vav tzucha le'ahavat Hashem Elokecha. You cannot love God, you can't really have ahavat Hashem fully in Chutz La'aretz. There's too much stuff going on. Too much shiabud.
I was very upset when I came to seminary. I was really upset. And
why were you upset?
I was to Israel at some point.
Why were you upset?
At some point.
How could it be true? It's not fair.
It's
you're upset?
It's undermining
Yeah.
Is it undermining, or is it that the thing that got you to say finally, that put in your head, that put the little thing in your head that said, are you sure? Why'd you come?
Oh, something like that.
I don't know. I think part of the reason I came is because I knew deep down in my heart, how can a person really be a complete Ovid Hashem if he is leaving aside such a huge chunk of what it means to be a Jew? How can you? And that's what the fear said. It's Ad Hashem Elokecha. But if you want to be El Hashem Elokecha, you want to Ahavat Hashem Elokecha.
Do you feel we were required to? It's not like, it's
got,
like a tzivoy.
You gotta
no?
do it here.
I felt it was a tzivoy.
So to all of you living at home and you're listening to this in Chutz La'aretz, Sorry, but it's real hardcore here. What can you do? Okay. So I wish you all Shana Tova. Should be a good year, a blessed year. Our tefillot should be answered. Iran should be subdued. The rocket should stop. Right?
And destroyed.
Annihilated.
Yes.
I don't want them to be annihilated. I want them to decide not to use them. I want them to decide. Okay? Okay? I live in a dream world.
So our next year is after
the
Gaza should be.
And so we should fulfill the bracha about Yadecha. Ki yashuv Hashem v'sus alecha letov kasher sasa avotecha. We should all be blessed with the brachot that Moshe Rabbeinu blesses us of goodness and bracha for all of us.
Amen.
Good.